The other night, I spoke to a man whose whole face had lit up. Enthusiastically, he said to me, "Jesus is one of us." He was referring to our latest billboard. The "us" was a reference to sexual minorities. For him, it was a new thought and an inspiring thought that Jesus might have been gay. Having read on the subject of Jesus' sexual orientation a couple of decades ago, I wondered whether anyone would get enthusiastic about this billboard. Wasn't it a case of being there, debated that? But this gentleman's face was radiant. The word Emmanuel, God with us, came to mind. He had the same sort of excitement that I imagine the poor of Palestine had some 2 millennia ago, when the message was proclaimed that God in Jesus was one with them. This God with us is the fundamental theological truth of Christmas. There are actually multiple Christmases celebrated at this time of the year, all of them with sprinklings, lashings of truth. And I would group them in 3 categories. Firstly, the popular Christmas. Secondly, the biblical Christmas. And thirdly, the theological Christmas. The popular Christmas has special and symbolic food, like cakes and candy canes, and you might think of all the others. It has Christmas trees and lights, all with their own legends. It has gift givings, parties, family gatherings, and indigestion. It has music, love, joy, peace as its themes. And it has Santa, elves, and fairies, all of which you can meet here in St. Matthew's. It has a beautiful, clean, European-looking baby in a bassinet of straw, watched over by his adoring, pure mother. There is powerful mythology behind this Christmas, some of which we want to affirm and some of which we might want to question. A billboard that criticizes popular Christmas needs to be very careful lest it's misunderstood. Then there is the biblical Christmas, the stories of Jesus' birth as told in the Gospels. In the biblical Christmas, there is a scandalous pregnancy. There is brave Mary and Joseph journeying away from kin. There is Jesus born in the squalor of poverty. There are angelic choristers singing revolution in the air. There are low-life shepherds dropping by. There are mysterious Zoroastrians also coming by and incurring political displeasure. Plus there's travel, loads of travel, to Bethlehem, to Egypt, and then back to Nazareth. Most of us know that these themes are amalgamation of 2 quite separate stories in the books of Matthew and Luke. Most of us also know they're not literal history, but rather created history that informs us about the mission and ministry of the adult Jesus. It's difficult to make billboards about the biblical Christmas because generally the public doesn't get it. Popular Christmas has trumped the Bible some time back. The visitors representing foreign religion have been made into kings. The low-life shepherds are respectable or washed and even their robes ironed. Jesus as a threat to imperial power has been glossed over and ignored. Angels are given wings and halos and had their political spines removed. And Mary is not in the least bit scandalous. The theological meaning of Christmas hinges around the location of God. The question of where is God to be found? and the related question of whom, therefore, does God mix and mingle with? For centuries, God was assumed to be all-powerful, controlling life and death, fortune, favor, and fate. The closest resemblance to that power was the almighty emperor or monarch, who was often referred to as a son of God or divine. God, like powerful kings, sat on a high throne, commanding all the subjects. God mixed with royalty and the privileged elites. To this marriage of divine and earthly power was added the notion of purity. Poverty was a sign of impurity. After all, the poor were dirty and lived in dirty hovels, didn't they? And the rich were blessed with money, and therefore obviously blessed by God, and lived in cleaner surroundings. They were therefore acceptable and pure in God's sight. And so this coalition of the notions of divine power and purity on the one hand, with the secular and spiritual elites, joined become an all-pervasive myth, written into our architecture, art, customs, and literature. God was where power and purity were, and power and purity were where the leader was, in a palace, castle, or mansion. Well, so the predominant reasoning went. The offense, the scandal of the Christian message is that God was revealed as a lowly carpenter of suspicious origins who had little wealth, no armaments, no palace, and few followers. This is the message. The Christian God was born in poverty, surrounded by persons of dubious reputation. And this God continues to be amongst those in poverty, surrounded by persons of dubious reputation. There is nowhere where God is not. And this is good news for those on the margins, for prisoners and ex-prisoners, sexual minorities, those with disabilities, recent immigrants, the unemployed, indeed anyone who experienced prejudice from persons or institutions with power. It's also bad news for those who think God is in their back pocket, believing what they believe, discriminating against those they discriminate against. It's this group that have found our latest billboard suggesting Jesus could have been gay so offensive. How could he have been one of those disgusting sinners? They screamed at Clay and I. Anyone who doesn't fit their definition of pure is disgusting. So if you go looking for God, it's more likely you won't find her at home relaxing amongst the high and mighty, the rich and influential, and those peddling prejudice. She'll be out back, having a drink with the so-labeled sinners, mixing with the heathens and the heretics, the troubled and the violated, and upsetting expectations. The idea that she is God is deeply offensive to those who like to think that their wealth, power, and purity are indicators of their blessedness. And as for that pronoun, the idea that God might be a she is as offensive today among conservative religious people as the notion in the first century that God might be born in and live in poverty was to their predecessors. As with many things in Christianity, this offensive message about the location of God being among the impure and lowly, in time got subverted by the powerful elites. As any singer of Christmas carols knows, Jesus, after his death and resurrection, was made a king, enthroned on high and seated at the right hand of God, who was also high, from whence he would rule over us. Jesus, so the thinking went, was always a king, but he lowered himself to mix and mingle with the lowly before returning to his high royal throne. And this is how the incarnation was interpreted. Up, down, up. Jesus came like a visiting dignitary, camped at the city mission to show he cared. But he wasn't from the mission, and he didn't stay long term at the mission. Rather, after some 33 years, he returned to his royal home in the wealthier section of heaven. Yet the theological truth of Christmas is that Jesus reveals a God who never sat on a throne and never wanted to. Jesus reveals a God who was never a king and never wanted to be. God in Jesus was always at the city mission and will always be. God is the kindness offered and the justice hoped for. Jesus reveals a God who overturns our ideas of purity and suggests that those who are kind to the discriminated are the most pure of all. Jesus reveals a God who wants to be known by the love that overcomes prejudice, that welcomes every shade of sinner or saint and mingles with them in the messiness of the here and now. There is no coming down from the heavenly heights to save us. Heaven, like God, has always been here in the kindness, in the love, and in the desire to build a just and fair society for all. So Christmas is a reality check for churches. Let's enjoy the popular Christmas and the generosity and joy that it often promotes. Let's enjoy the biblical Christmas and the pointers to the radical inclusiveness taught by Jesus and the early church. But let's also remember the theological Christmas. That God is with us and has always been and will always be. The little children, with the fragile and dependent, with those who are poor and suffering, with the excluded and those who are discriminated against.